SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
You came to the right place, people. It's the best hour of your day. It's officially underway. It's Moneyline. It's SiriusXM Channel 159. So many ways to watch. So many ways to listen, which does include the chat box, which is already popping out here. Jordan P's out here. Akbar's out here. Mammoth's out here. I'm in there. We are ready to go and have some fun. Why is that? Because we have NBA back in our lives, and I love it. And I preface this by saying it. Now, sometimes I get excited. But the start of new seasons, which means a lot of the books are going to be giving out some pretty good boosts to start. We had two of them last night. One on Bet365 and one I used on FanDuel. The FanDuel one was, one of them was a $25 no risk, I guess. So you bet it. I actually lost that one, but I got $25 back. I did have a parlay in last night using the 50% boost, which won, which was fantastic. That was for $50. Then flip it over to Bet365. Put in a three leg, $50 parlay there, which if you lost, it didn't matter. They gave you the $50 back, which I did lose, got the $50 back. But also I hit the odds boost yesterday, which was 20 points out of Anthony Edwards and 15 points out of LeBron James. They both had decent fourth quarters, got over those numbers and cashed in. So I was profitable last night. It was fantastic. I'm going to tell you in just a little bit, though, what I actually did with that $25 to fire up the boys, which I placed out on Twitter. If you're not following me there, it's at RightsideVP on Twitter. You'll see that ticket. I'll explain it in a matter of moments. But you guys know the way I like to get down on this program. I like to talk about the hottest topics. I like to talk about what's relative and the narrative that I take usually has a decent pulse on what the public is thinking as well. The reason I bring that up, last night the NBA was underway. And again, the NBA, I say this a lot. When there's big moments to be had, the NBA usually seizes the occasion. And they did again last night. Knicks Celtics was a great matchup, at least on paper. We'll get to that game in a second. And the excitement for ring night and for Boston against a team in the Knicks that looks to be one of those teams that could be able to knock off the Boston Celtics. Then game number two, West Coast action. Of course, they're going to put LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers on there, understandably. But we'll get to Knicks Celtics in just a moment. I want to spend some time with the Lakers and the Timberwolves because some people just think stuff is like, hey, that's cool, and that's fine. If you're a sports athlete, if you're a fan of the Lakers, just a fan of the NBA, there's two ways you can go in this direction. You know the way I'm going, the correct route here to get us home. That's LeBron James, and that's Bronny James. Let's do like the backstory of it, right? And Kevin's not here, which is a shame because we would probably have a spirited conversation that we might have multiple times this year. And that's with the effectiveness of the Los Angeles Lakers and what it means with them having Bronny James. On the court, it means absolutely nothing. He's a zero on the court. I'm not being harsh on the kid, but he doesn't deserve to be in the NBA. We'll get to that in just a second. Obviously, the kid's a good basketball player, was very good in high school. He wasn't a McDonald's All-American. No, Don, he was. He was on that McDonald's All-American team. Pop got him on that team. And if anybody knows anything about the way sports works, it's about money. You put LeBron James on that McDonald's All-American team, it adds a buzz around the game. Of course, they were going to do that, and LeBron James had a big hand in that. That's okay. LeBron James' son was good enough to play college basketball. Was he good enough to be at USC? Couldn't start. That team stunk out loud. Yes, I understand. They had some talent in front of him here, but that team was terrible. And when he got on the court, he was useless. He couldn't score, and don't give me he can defend. Everybody in college basketball that is a guard can defend because they're just decent athletes. So he added nothing to USC. So then we started to think, like, where's Bronny James going to actually get drafted to? We all knew he was going to the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's no way that the Lakers were going to take him in round number one. Why? Because nobody wanted to draft Bronny outside of Los Angeles. So they picked him up late in that second round, and away he went to LA. Deservedly so? No. But in the grand scheme of things, business is business. If LeBron James, who is the de facto owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, quote unquote. He's going to make that call and that decision. You knew he was going to be a Laker. That was easy money on that bet, and he became a Los Angeles Laker. He played in the preseason. Now, I didn't watch all the preseason games while I was following along because accounts are going to retweet what he's doing. And the last update I saw was like 44 minutes, 4 points, can't make any shots, which he's a terrible shooter. So don't give me he can shoot the basketball. At every level I've seen him so far, he can't shoot at all. And I'm not talking about a JV team for Sierra Canyon or whoever he played for. He can't shoot a lick. Couldn't shoot in college. Couldn't shoot in the preseason. And couldn't shoot on opening night. Now, he did play 3 minutes. He's known for his defense. In those 3 minutes, he was a -5. He did take 2 shots. And I told you, he can't shoot the basketball. So he bricked both of those, including a wide open look for a 3-point shot that his dad gave him here. But the bigger reason why I wanted to talk about this was not that LeBron James can't play basketball. Yeah, he can. He can play in rec leagues. He can play probably in the G League a little bit. He might be able to go overseas and play for a team we never heard of in Israel. He could probably do that. So he can extend his basketball career. But again, he won the gene pool. He won the lottery. No matter if he can play basketball a lick the rest of his life, he's going to be a multi-millionaire because of his father. So he really wins at life. Not the people like me talking about his basketball acumen at this point. But let's understand one thing. Where the public was getting so, it's going to be a legendary moment. Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. going to be there. We had to witness it. The standing ovation that he got with his father entering into the game. From a father-son moment, that's very cool for him and his son. But it's his own moment. It's nobody else's. And how contrived it was last night where Bronny's not an NBA player, let alone getting in an NBA game, first game of the season in the second quarter. That was contrived. That was staged. That was WWF. That was WCW. That was AEW wrestling. That was just contrived for that one moment and that picture for TV and the home crowd there. Now that that's out of the way, we don't have to worry about Bronny James. Is he going to play again the rest of the season? I don't know. Is dad going to force him to be playing in for the rest of the season? Maybe so at that point. But for my money, when I see stuff like that, I know it's contrived, so I don't buy into it. Bronny James' name is Dave Smith in real life. He's working at UPS today. He's an insurance agent. He's selling real estate. He's hustling crypto. He's not playing for the Lakers, game number one in the NBA. I'm sorry, he's just not doing that. Bronny James seems like a great kid with a great head on his shoulders, but he's not an NBA player, but he is because his dad said he is. And the joke that I was making a little bit earlier today on the early line was simple. Like, I think if LeBron James, I think he does have a daughter. If his daughter was the age of Bronny James, I don't know. Maybe she's younger. Maybe Bronny's the oldest I get. I don't know the family structure. But let's understand one thing. If he wanted to, he would have got his daughter drafted by the Lakers, and his daughter would have been able to play in game number one because he said so. That's the power that he has. Like, he could have said, I'm opting out unless you are drafting my son. That's power of one of the greatest players in the NBA. But if we're going to sit here on opening night and say, what a great moment it is, for the LeBron James, Bronny James family, it was an unbelievable night, memorable. A father and a son would always want to do that. But was Bronny James there on merit game number one? 1,000% no. And anybody listening to this radio program right now understands where I'm coming from. It's not a hater mentality. Fantastic for the James family. I'm not going to go as far as saying an embarrassment to the NBA and where this leads because we haven't seen it before and there's a reason why. And quite frankly, we should never see it again because we're not going to have a player that's going to last that long and be that good as LeBron James to have a kid come along and be 18, 19, 20 years old, be old enough to play with his father in the NBA, whether he's good enough or not. But let's make no bones about this yesterday. This was contrived for TV, contrived for the home crowd. It was a late night game. Bronny came in. And now we don't have to talk about this anymore. And maybe if Bronny is going to be an NBA player, which certainly he isn't right now, go to the G League for a couple years. Get a jump shot here. Only Bronny James can make it to the NBA with zero game. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. The hot topics will continue to flow. Radio Moneyline, I'm Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talk of the night here. Lakers with a big victory over the Timberwolves, 110-103. Which, by the way, Anthony Davis last night is absolutely sensational. Absolutely sensational. 36 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. He was a man all over the place yesterday. LeBron James, decent last night. The Lakers better than the Timberwolves. Life without Karl Anthony Towns, a new direction. Anthony Edwards going to shoot a million times this season. And betting the NBA is a lot of fun. And it's a night-to-night league, and we're going to have a lot of fun betting that as we move forward. Profitable last night. Hope everybody in the chat box listening here on SiriusXM channel 159 profited as well last night on all your bets. What we wait for, the collision of seasons, which is college football, pro football, which is hockey, which is the NBA, college basketball coming up next. You get the picture. I'm excited. It's fantastic. And yesterday, the NBA was just fun to watch it back. And by the way, when we're talking fun, the Celtics, 132-109 over the New York Knicks, they were absolutely incredible. I like big moments. I like championship moments. And I do like to watch, even if it's not one of my teams, which the Celtics certainly are not one of my teams, how they handle like ring night, how big the rings are, how impressive they are, the uniforms they wear, and certainly the raising of the banner. I like all that stuff because I like nostalgia. The fact that they have 18 championships is just wild, where some franchises wallow out here and can't even get to an NBA Finals, let alone win one. They have 18 of them. That storied franchise history, dating back to Bob Cousy and Bill Russell, through the 80s with the Larry Bird, you know, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. Then you get to the KG years, and now you have the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown years, which looks like after week number one, or game number one, I should say, man, this team might be just rounding up to another victory, and why play the rest of the regular season? Because the Celtics are going to absolutely destroy everybody. 132-109 yesterday. Jason Tatum, 37-10. Kevin Walsh, you again, as our co-host here on the show. We'll be back tomorrow. We always have a joke with Jason Tatum. Like, boy, if you're going to put him in a parlay, which includes him to make 2 3-point shots or more, that's exactly where you're going to lose that parlay. Jason Tatum last night, 30 minutes played, 14 of 18 from the floor, which included 8 of 11 from 3-point range. So you figure like, oh, he's doing a Devin Booker. He's not passing anybody the basketball. The man had 10 assists last night. Tatum had 37 points, 10 assists, and 4 rebounds in 30 minutes last night. As you saw, a barrage of 3-point shots, something that we were one away from, something we had never seen before. Opening night, the Boston Celtics dropped 29 three-point shots. They shot 61 three-point shots and made 48% of those shots. That's outrageous. They shot 50% from the floor. Like, just do the math. They beat the Knicks 132-109. The Knicks shot 55% from the floor. The Celtics shot 50% from the floor. And they won going away, and the game wasn't even as close as even what that final score indicates. It was a wrap. Period number one, 43-24, game over, opening night, good luck, New York Knicks. Now, we don't judge a book by its cover on night number one. We understand that Brunson is going to be better. We understand that Karl Anthony Towns is going to usually score more than 12 points in a game with 7 rebounds. We understand that OG Anunoby is too talented to go 1 of 7 from the floor with 4 points. And Mikal Bridges, who struggled like all get out in the first half of that game, found the shooting stroke a little bit in the second half, only scored 16. We know the Knicks are going to be good because they're priced appropriately. You look at the Eastern Conference, it's the Boston Celtics number one, it's the New York Knicks number two. Just so happens they played last night. But I was thoroughly impressed, and again, I know it's early, but Kristaps Porzingis wasn't even there. Like, look at some of these lines for the starters. 30 minutes for Tatum, 14 of 18 from the floor, 8 of 11 from three-point range. Al Horford just looks to give you those quality minutes. He played 26 of them, 4 for 7 from field goal range, 3 of 5 from the three-point line. Jrue Holiday, lockdown point guard, heart and soul of that team, 31 minutes, 7 of 9 from the floor, which included 4 of 6 from three-point range. Derek White, who I love, who I bet yesterday to go over 13.5 as his prop, he played 27 minutes, 8 of 13 from the floor, which included 6 of 10 from downtown. And then Jaylen Brown, not a prolific three-point shooter by any measure. 30 minutes, 7 of 18 from the floor, but from three-point range, 5 of 9 for 23 points. The plus-minus for the starters, plus 26, plus 19, plus 23, plus 21, and plus 23. As good as it gets, and don't even have Kristaps Porzingis just yet back. Now, my Philadelphia 76ers open tonight. And here's a part that we're going to get into in just a few moments of what is the NBA heading towards at this point? We've been talking about it for years, and over 82 games, does it hold up anymore? But before we get there, like when we talk about things that need to hold up over the years, I always love to talk about this because Kevin is a New York Yankees fan. I like to rag on him a bit on this. And I think he's coming around to my equation here in this and listening in. I don't understand why we have to retire numbers. I just don't. And for the owners early on in their team's infancy, I guess they didn't figure that it would go on for more than a couple dozen years. I don't know. But if you are the New York Yankees, right, with all the jerseys that you've retired, and granted, we expect civilization to go on for at least a couple hundred more years, you would think, which means that team will be around for a few hundred years. Every 5 or 6 years for the Yankees, you're probably going to have a great player. Does that mean you have to retire every single number on your roster? So it's not really a Yankees conversation I'm having now, but I just wanted to segue over to the Boston Celtics. Who, again, there was a time where you can only go up to like number 55, right? Now guys are wearing all sort of ridiculous numbers, and maybe rightfully so, and maybe the NFL owners figured this isn't a bad thing. They have 23 retired jersey numbers. Why? I don't understand. Like, sooner than later, you're not going to have enough, like, basketball jerseys. You're going to have to go into the hundreds. Like, hey, we just drafted Tommy Smith in year 2092. He's going to wear number 114 for the Boston Celtics. Like, why do we do that? Like, if there's retired numbers should be, like, the most iconic player to ever play in your franchise. So, case in point, you want to take a look at Larry Bird for the Boston Celtics. You raise number 33 up to the rafters. Nobody ever is going to wear 33 ever again. Okay, I could buy into that. But every number is still available. So if you overtake Larry Bird as the best player in that organization's history, 33 comes down out of the rafters, and then you put up another number for 0 in Jason Tatum. He's now the guy that has his jersey retired. Same thing with the Yankees. Or, I always say this, why can't you just have a patch on that jersey? Like, Derek Jeter's number 2 for the Yankees. Anthony Volpe wants to wear number 2, that's fine. You just have that gold little patch on the arm that says either Derek Jeter or his initials on there. So you honor that jersey as it's being worn. Can we stop retiring jerseys? What an embarrassment, man. Come on back, it's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I do miss the boys calling in, and I've been saying it for a couple months now. Hopefully, I don't know if we don't pay our bills on the phone lines, whatever it is. I really wish we can work that back in. The boys out there, you know, Moose and the crew, the X-Man calling in every single day. I mean, come on now. We miss those fellas out here. So shout out to everybody who is a loyal listener and caller. I know some of those callers there sitting in the chat box. Jordan's out there. Chris Warren's out there. We miss the voices here on the air. We do. Red Tail, we know all the boys. Everybody that was calling in, having a good time with us, we miss you. Hopefully we can hear those voices soon. But, you know, the show has to roll along. We got to put on that program. We can't just be upset when technology is not working in our direction. So that new technology, Sports Grid On Demand, on the YouTube channel, get the follow button, get in here, have some fun, share your information. It's a lifeline to the show directly. As well, as you know, I love to answer those questions on X/Twitter at RightsideVP. Now, I do have one more hot topic because this is a short segment here of the show. Before we flip it over to the NFL, start taking a look at some of these trades. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Chiefs, what that impact means. Maybe look at the MVP races and also who I placed a $25 wager on to win an MVP that could pay back $10,000 if it happens. But maybe it won't. Maybe it will. But it is going to be good content. Well, let's get angry again. Keith Stewart comes on every Wednesday with us on the early line. Both myself and Dubs Anderson on Wednesdays. We talk golf, keep us updated on what's going on. We didn't get a chance to broach this topic, which I believe is going to join us in the next 2 weeks again, which I'm going to get a full segment to ask him. Live Golf has not been good for golf overall because we want to see superstars play superstars on a week-to-week basis. I did like the fact that Live Golf came into our live because I thought the PGA Tour was really a sham. And once Liv Goff came in and said, we're going to pay a lot of money, the PGA Tour found like hundreds of millions of dollars to play their athletes here. It's not working. And maybe those two tours were joined together and we can get back to having fun watching all those superstars every single week, as opposed to only worrying about the majors. Because quite frankly, for me, and I consider myself the average sports fan outside of the four majors, I'll watch majors in golf. I'll bet on majors in golf because it's a lot of fun. Why? Because you have the biggest moments with the biggest golfers in the world, and that's what means a lot. Nobody watches Live Golf. We don't even know where to find it. The CW, stop it. Nobody watches that. Meaningless golf on a horrible schedule that they only play three rounds, and if you ever tuned into a Live Golf telecast, you have no idea what's going on. There's music in the background, guys are wearing shorts, and 16,000 stats are being flown on the screen with team play, individual play, guys I never heard of. Yeah, I'm out. Don't watch that. But the PGA Tour on a week-to-week basis, don't care about that either. Only majors. So now we're led to believe that golf needs even more golf that's nonsensical, which is the 2025 Tiger Woods Golf League, TGL. I think that's what it's called. The Tiger Golf League, I don't even know what the official word is, but it's TGL, where they have six teams: Atlanta, Boston, the Jupiter Lynx, LA, New York, and the Bay. You're telling me right now, people don't watch golf as is. You're better off going down to your local bar and playing Golden Tee and having your friends watch along to have a way better time than what they're trying to pitch to you now. I'm going to watch golfers basically hit off a golf simulator, and that's supposed to be exciting, and we're watching this? This has the feel of like the USFL or XFL, where nobody cares about it and will fold up in a matter of moments. And who put the biggest joke is, who put the money up for this? Like, who's destined to lose millions and millions and millions of dollars on this horrendous idea that not a single person asked for? And if you remember, like Rory and Tiger, like the big backers in this, that's how angry they were that Liv Goff broke off, because they knew they were in bed already with the PGA Tour and had no choice but to stay with the PGA Tour, because the PGA Tour is going to help them back this league. Otherwise, Rory would have a few hundred million dollars extra in his pocket, but instead, he got the TGL. I'm telling you right now, like, you know, like, I like to hate on things just to hate it sometimes. But there's nobody listening to me right now that goes, you're wrong, Donnie. The TGL is going to be must-see TV. When I watch Tiger Woods hit off a golf simulator and fake like he had a good... And by the way, you want to talk about, you know, hey, this is crooked and this is fixed here? You're telling me this league isn't fixed? Like, you're telling me Tiger Woods doesn't have an okay from whoever digital provider this is going to be, where every one of my shots is going to be good? Everyone, how do you even know where it's going? You're going to hit a drive into a net and it's going to be like, hey, man, 362 right down the middle. Stop it. The TGL, the next thing on your TV to go bankrupt. Guarantee it. Talk NFL topics next. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got moves, people. We got moves to make, because why the NFL? No, they don't play today. They get back on the field tomorrow. Minnesota Vikings going out west to take on the Los Angeles Rams. But what we do have is movement in the wide receiver market, which seems like it's at a hot trading, you know, spot right now. Amari Cooper goes on the move to the Buffalo Bills, scores a touchdown his first week. Davante Adams over to the New York Jets. They lose against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now this morning, DeAndre Hopkins on the move from the Tennessee Titans over to the Kansas City Chiefs. Does that sway the balance of power? No, it doesn't. But if you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, who are already unbeaten on the season, they needed help at wide receiver, and they got a good veteran presence. He's not a speed guy. He's more of a, 7 to 10 to 15 yard, I'll make the contesting catch guy, which they need, because they don't have very many valuable players in the room right now. Rashee Rice, I don't know if he's going to come back this season. If he does, what's the playoff time? And that's even if he's in shape and it's going to be the same player he was pre-injury. Hollywood Brown, he's out. They're saying like maybe he can come back for the playoffs, but that's a long way off and they're unbeaten. They just needed a warm body in that room that's been around the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins will help, but this isn't like, oh my goodness. If I didn't like the Chiefs before, now I absolutely love the Chiefs. No, it's not. It's not anywhere near that at that point. But it is a good move that they made, which then brings into the equation, how effective is that move going to be? And also, are the Chiefs truly the best team in the NFL? If you said, Donnie, outside of the Chiefs, who's the best team in the NFL? I'd say, well, first of all, the Chiefs aren't the best team in the NFL. Best record of the NFL? Yes. Best team? No, it's not necessarily that. Give me the Detroit Lions. Give me the Baltimore Ravens. And maybe even the Buffalo Bills. But it's just hard to say with a straight face that Mahomes and Reed won't be there in the end because that's all they do. Their defense is playing out of their mind. Their offense is making just enough plays to win football games. They're holding on at the end of games. That's all you can ask for. But DeAndre Hopkins going to the Kansas City Chiefs, nice move. Does it change the needle for me? No, it absolutely does not. But I'll tell you one thing that we're looking at now. That NFL MVP market is really swinging in the full gear. And it's going in the right direction. And that one direction is Lamar Jackson. 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was in that range, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1. He's catapulted. This morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Lamar Jackson to win the MVP of the NFL regular season, plus 195. Second in line, it's Patrick Mahomes at a plus 470 price. Josh Allen, plus 650. Jared Goff at 7-1. Nobody else is 10-1 or less. Next tier, Jordan Love, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy. You get the picture there. But Lamar Jackson right now, if the season ended, 1,000% would be the MVP. And this is where we talk about and can sort of equate those wide receivers. Because we are getting news now that the Los Angeles Rams and Cooper Kupp, he's on the market. Now, that might be pending on what we actually think is going to happen on Thursday Night Football between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams. But before we even get there, the thought process where a lot of these wide receivers would hit the market. Davante Adams, there was talk of him going to a couple teams. Amari Cooper, if he hit the market, where could he possibly go? Those two, that's dead and buried at this point. Same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. But the one team that kept coming in those conversation talks, at least from a public perspective, was the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's offense. Say Flowers looks like he's a young, really good player. Rashad Bateman not really coming into his own just yet. Nelson Aguilar on one side. You have a double tight end set that works. You have a dominant ground game, physical offensive line, and a great quarterback. So many people were saying, boy, if we could just get Lamar Jackson, a true number one wide receiver, what that would actually mean to that team. And I was one of the few out there that really said, I don't want them making any change at wide receiver. I don't want their identity to change absolutely at all. And you've seen over this win streak here for the Baltimore Ravens, they've been nothing short of miraculous on offense. Every single week, absolutely pounding football teams. Every single week, doing it a multitude of ways. Look at the first two games they had against the Chiefs. 27-20 loss, toe in the back of the end zone. Game could have went to overtime. Lamar Jackson probably converts a two-point conversion. They might win that game. Raiders game, they stunk. They blew a double-digit lead. But after that, 5 straight victories. Cowboys, Bills, Bengals, Commanders, and Buccaneers. A lot of talent across the board. But look at the numbers that they put up. 28, 35, 41, 30, and 41. That's without a true number one wide receiver. And I like Zay Flowers. I really do. But yes, if you got Davante Adams or Amari Cooper, their wide receiving core would get better. And you say, well, Donnie, if the wide receiver core gets better, why would you not like that? Because I saw the down effects of a passing game that you're trying to rely on over the past couple years with the Ravens in the playoffs. That is not your identity. Stay with your identity. I know Lamar Jackson can throw the football. I know he can push the football downfield. And he does that just fine right now without a superstar wide receiver. And I do truly believe this from the bottom of my heart last year. If you could get a do-over with the Kansas City Chiefs at home in the AFC Championship game, they would win that game 9 out of 10 times if they just didn't say, you know what? We run the football really well. Lamar Jackson is absolutely flat out unbelievable. But we're going to pass the ball all over the place and not run the ball. If they just ran the football, which is what their DNA is, the Ravens today would be trying for back-to-back Super Bowl championships. I honestly believe that. They were the best team in football last year that had such coaching malpractice in that AFC championship game that it hurt me. Because yes, I did have a bet on the Baltimore Ravens, but I didn't see that coming in a million years. And like, finally, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get their comeuppance. in this AFC Championship game because they're not going to be as good or as physical as they need to be to beat the Ravens. And the Ravens just said, you know what? We're going to date this back to 1984 Air Coryell Chargers at this point. Stop it. Ridiculous, stupid, dumb. And they lost. But Lamar Jackson, a plus 195 to win the MVP. Am I taking it right now? No, there's a lot of football left to play. Injuries do happen. That price point is no longer viable for me. Patrick Mahomes, more interceptions than touchdowns at plus 470, but getting the kickbacks there because the Kansas City Chiefs are an undefeated football team. Josh Allen, who I think also has a chance to get on that rocket ship. Now he's got Amari Cooper, one of the more talented offense. We came into the season, at least I did. Hey, boy, this is going to have to be all on Josh Allen at this point. Now you look at three viable running backs. Are they sensational? No. James Cook's a very good lead tailback. Sweet Baby Ray and the boys backing it up. Love what I see. Double tight end sets here with a young kid in Dalton Kincaid, veteran in Dawson Knox. Love what I see there. Physical offensive line, like what I see there. Wide receiving core with Khalil Shakir now in that slot position, one of the better slot wide receivers in football. Outside, Keon Coleman can grow as that secondary number two without a lot of hype because why? Amari Cooper can now step into that number one spot. It's a perfect offense, and Josh Allen has been nothing short of spectacular this year. Not turning the football over in the passing game, and you see now, starting to take control as that team I think they can be. Maybe I slept on them a little bit in the offseason, thinking that the Jets were the better team, you know, like offensively, defensively. Not the case here. Like the Jets are falling apart quick, which includes, by the way, guys, the quarterback of the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's aging and he's old, and now hamstring, ankle, and knee injuries. Which, by the way, I really like them to smash the New England Patriots. But if he's not going to be back there 100%, what does that mean? We just smash Breece Hall? Just smash Braylon Allen at this point? 7-point line. They should win that. If Aaron Rodgers shows up in a wheelchair Sunday, they should be able to beat that football team. That's how bad it is. But back to the MVP markets here. I do agree the top three, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen, that's who it should be. That second tier is really interesting, though, because Jared Goff has been absolutely flat out spectacular in that offense under Ben Johnson in Detroit since he's come over. I love everything I see. Ultra efficient, pushing the football downfield, making the right reads, not turning it over, and getting his team victories here, which included last week a monster victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Jordan Love at a 12-1 price. Arm of a god, man. Can make every throw. Sometimes those throws, they go to the other team. He's got to clean that up. But there's a good chance that the Packers, when it's all said and done, could be the best team in the NFC. Joe Burrow, who's probably going to put up massive numbers, but maybe not get the team accolades needed for an MVP, one to keep an eye out for. But that MVP market, certainly sensational. More hot topics, as always, flowing right here on Moneyline. Solo mission on a Wednesday. It's hump day on the Sports Grid Network, and I'm Donnie Wrightside, and the heat will continue right after this short commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA popping off once again tonight. Let me log into my account here. Bet365. If we got any bonus promotions tonight. All right, 50% boost on any game today. SGP, which means you have to have a minimum of 3. Might be able to take a look at that. Might profit on there. 30% boost in the NHL. Try to stay away from that one. And by the way, it says on Washington versus the Capitals. That was yesterday's game. Unless they're going back-to-back tonight, maybe? Hold on, let me just check that real quick. The Flyers going back-to-back? Ooh, they are today. A home and home. Flyers terrible to start the season, but who can blame them for getting buried on the West Coast for like 15 straight games before they actually came home? Let me go over to FanDuel now. Let's see. What's the FD got tonight? Do a quick log into the account. Take a look there, because they had some pretty good promos last night. Plus money was all over the place to take advantage of. All right, we have Hump Day Parlay's reward stack. See, we got that. I'll hit claim now, whatever that's about. 25% on hockey. Okay, we got no sweat game for tomorrow night's game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Rams. 30% odds boost as well. 30% same game parlay. Ooh, we got a lot of stuff out here to have fun with. So did anybody have fun last night in the NBA? I did. picked up some profitable numbers. I'm going to watch my Sixers tonight with just Tyrese Maxey playing for them. Not as exciting as Joel Embiid and Paul George and the gang back together, but I do think the NBA does have, it's maybe more the, when you're just looking from a price point, right, and fun to be had, isn't it just about the best of the bunch is the NBA, though? Assist props, rebound props, points props, three-point props, so many different ways to bet it. It's like in the NFL, like, yes, a quarterback has a passing prop you'll take a look at or a touchdown prop you'll take a look at, but the NBA can hit you from so many angles. And those 50% prop, you know me, I don't boost a plus 600 into a 10-to-1 bet. I take a plus 100 and turn it into a plus 150 at that point, right? Like, that's the name of the game. Plus 130s, plus 150s, plus 180s. That's what we're looking forward to tonight. So not necessarily an NBA handicapper. I do check in on a couple sites, which sort of helped me out a little bit to push me in the right direction. But I'm not a sharp handicapper in the NBA by any stretch. Looking to have more fun, but certainly use those boosts to your advantage and certainly try to make those as profitable as possible. So I'll be in the mix tonight. If anybody has anything out there, check us out right here. Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube. Get in the chat box, post a play. Love it, like it, dislike it. You can do that or also on Twitter. Hit me at RightsideVP. Here's what I got tonight, Donnie. Or you can go to the hashtag SGMoneyline on Twitter or X. Post your tickets up there. Let's see what you have. Let's root them in. A lot of people like to do that as well. But the NFL is going to get back underway for us tomorrow, which questions are now coming up in Minnesota. And I don't even know where this came from yesterday. You ever go on Twitter or X? You hit the little circle button, and it takes you to the trending topics. And you scroll down. Sometimes NBA, it's a local feed. It's hockey, whatever. Hottest sports, you know, stuff of the day. I understand that Cooper Kupp is on the market. It's no surprise. I was reading Diana Rossini's tweets today on the early line and what that impact could be based on maybe what's going to happen Thursday night. Joe Lisi came on the early line to join us over the final half hour. And we're saying, like, you know what, Cooper Kupp, price point in that mid-60s here, is it a showcase game for him? If the Rams lose, but he shows he's healthy, maybe you can get that second-round pick that you're willing to trade him for and pick up some 2024 compensation for him to help facilitate that trade. But what happens if Cooper Kupp plays well on Thursday night, and so does Matthew Stafford, and they win that game? They pick up their third win of the season. They're not far back from actually winning the NFC West. Does that change things? Is this a referendum game for the Los Angeles Rams? I think it might be. Threes across the board primarily. Only 1.5 out there listed at DraftKings, juicy at minus 122. But that doesn't seem like a lot of confidence in the Minnesota Vikings. And the first time in a couple of these Thursday night efforts, you're getting a long travel spot from Minnesota all the way out there to Los Angeles. So you're going to have a couple weeks already into the season, banged up, bruised bodies, coming in to play a road game against the Rams. Not an exciting team per se for Minnesota to say it's absolutely must win. Yes, they know they have to win this game. But it's not as if you're flying out there to play the fully healthy 49ers and you must be engaged 100% to win this game. So I do think that's a little bit off, those numbers being so low. But I did see yesterday some outlets, and I guess they're false reports, but it looked like some accounts that had a big followings, like Matthew Stafford on the trade market. Like, it didn't even make sense. And also, the one was like, he's going to the Minnesota Vikings, which made even less sense out here. Let's just say if the Rams lose Thursday night, is Matthew Stafford on the move? And who would he go to be honest? What team would Matt? So he would go to Minnesota and knock out Sam Darnold, who's playing well, which then means that Matthew Stafford would be your future quarterback, and J.J. McCarthy that you drafted in the first round doesn't mean anything. It literally doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I don't know where that came from, but there were some larger accounts that were actually reporting that, which I don't buy for 1 second. You want to tell me Cooper Kupp's going to be on the move? Okay, I'll buy into that. You want to tell me Matthew Stafford is about to be on the move? I don't even know what to make heads or tails of that at all at that point. Just don't. But if Cooper Kupp is on the move, where does he fit in the NFL? Eagles made a move early in the season, preseason, I should say, to get a wide receiver that's not helping them out at all in Jahan Dotson. You saw the New York Jets make the move to Davante Adams. He should be able to help them out. Only 3 catches, 30 yards. His first start there with the Jets going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday Night Football. You then have Amari Cooper caught a touchdown pass in the Buffalo win over Tennessee. And now you're seeing DeAndre Hopkins go from Tennessee over to Kansas City. So there's a lot of wide receivers on the move, which leads like, who would still need it? And I know Joe was talking about this morning saying, you know, Cooper Kupp can go to Tampa Bay. I don't think that's the case. I don't think they gave up a two, knowing that Godwin and Mike Evans still probably going to be there for a couple years, depending on how serious that injury is, particularly to Chris Godwin. But I don't think they, and that doesn't put them over the top. Does it make them a little bit more competitive? Yes, but come on now. It's not as if you're getting a guy who's never been injured at 23 years old and you're going to add him to your crew. That's not the case. So I don't know where he actually fits in. Could it be with the Dallas Cowboys for Cooper Kupp, where you say, boy, we need more punch out here, waiting on Brandon Cooks with that weird knee infection that they have? Could that be the case? I don't think Cooper Kupp goes in the same division where the Rams would trade him to the San Francisco 49ers. They're trying to work in Ricky Pearsall as their number three, but now you don't have a number one in Kupp. Or should have been number one with Brandon Ayuk. I don't think that makes sense. And from them talking about we're not paying Brandon Ayuk because we can't afford Brock Purdy, I don't see that happening. Cooper Kupp, be on the move, people. Where's he going? More topics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work.
Cash rules everything around me. Right back out of here. Dollar bill, it's a final send-off. Let's have a big time segment right now. I do want to take a look at the NFL card this weekend because it seems like sometimes it's like measuring stick weekend or playoff push weekend or contenders versus pretenders weekend. How about blowout weekend this week? Why? Look at some of these games. I highlighted 6 games this week. Remember we were talking about week number one? It's like, man, every single one of these games is like 1.5 points to 4.5 points. We don't know who's going to win. We don't know where it's coming from at that point. But look at this weekend. We're starting to separate the men from the boys in the NFL. Tennessee versus Detroit. That line up to 11.5 at some outlets. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be for Tennessee. We do know they traded their, I don't say their best wide receiver, but a competent wide receiver. They can't get out of their own way. They were up 10-0 against the Buffalo Bills, which I bet the Buffalo Bills basically across the board in that game outside of the line itself. Team totals, Josh Allen over totals, Shakir over totals, touchdown passes, like everything you can at team totals, like everything across the board. And they won. That might be a game where they get hammered this weekend. Like Detroit last week, the only thing you could probably say is that maybe a letdown because they went on the road and beat Minnesota. I don't think that's the case. There's too many talented players in Detroit for a letdown. 11.5 point spread. Next big number, Baltimore and Cleveland. Baltimore going on the road as a 9.5 point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook against Cleveland. Who's going to start Jameis Winston this weekend, people? Yeah, that's how low we are down on the totem pole. Amari Cooper is gone. Injuries across the board. Deshaun Watson's not going to play. Baltimore now really exercising demons right now from last year's AFC Championship game, and hammering teams. New York Jets, New England Patriots, 7.5 now. Even though Aaron Rodgers is basically playing on one leg. Knee hurts, hip hurts, hamstring hurts. Doesn't matter. We stink as a team, but we're playing one of the worst teams in the NFL, the New England Patriots. Blowout week continues with next, the 4 o'clock slate. The New Orleans Saints, who look horrendous under Spencer Rattler. Going to take on the Chargers under Justin Herbert, who I don't know what happened at the end of that football game. They couldn't make defensive stops, but credit Arizona for winning that. That line, 7.5 also across the board. Let's keep moving forward. 425, Kansas City unbeaten on the road to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. That line, 10s. Across the board because of how bad the Vegas Raiders are. Gardner Minshew's going to get that start because Aiden O'Connell banged up his thumb. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Absolutely brutal. You want even more brutal football? 4:25 p.m., Carolina and Denver. Denver is a 9-point favorite in that game over Carolina, who's still listing Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback, even though he got in a car accident, had to get checked out. That's how much they don't want Bryce Young, apparently, to be their starting quarterback the rest of the way. There are other interesting games out there this weekend, don't get me wrong, but it seems like a lot of these are one-sided, which, if you're a side player, I get it. Kind of boring, and I don't know if I want to lay 10 points or take 10 points with this bad team. But usually when you have those big numbers, There's a lot of chances on prop bets this week. Because if you're figuring teams are going to be running away with football games and beating teams by double digits, that probably means a lot of rushing, a lot of passing touchdowns, a lot of receiving yards that you can certainly square up. That's what I'm looking forward to this weekend here. Big games on the docket. Thursday's an okay game. The 1 o'clock slate, well, who's the biggest game? Green Bay, Jacksonville stinks. Indianapolis, Houston stinks. Arizona, Miami stinks. Tampa Bay, Atlanta now stinks with all injuries. And then you get the 1 o'clock slate, horrendous. Horrendous. The Eagles, you know what's funny? The Eagles-Bengals game might be the best at 1 o'clock, right? 2.5, 3-point spread, depending on where you're shopping at. They actually flexed that Philadelphia Eagles-Cincinnati Bengals games out of the 4 o'clock to get Caleb Williams and Washington Commanders, which should have been Jaden Daniels, who looks like he's not going to play this weekend. That sort of backfired on them. But the 1 o'clock games outside of the Eagles game is just brutal. 4 o'clock, Buffalo-Seattle, not bad. I'm interested in that game. New Orleans-Los Angeles Chargers, horrendous. Kansas City-Las Vegas, horrendous. Denver-Carolina, horrendous. Then you get the night game, Dallas and San Francisco. We'll see what that is. We'll all tune in because it's two big names and most people are going to root against the 49ers and against the Dallas Cowboys. So haters drive ratings up. Don't get me wrong with that. But this isn't a great slate by any means in the NFL, side-wise or entertainment-wise. But betting-wise, come on now. You know we're going to be involved this weekend with the parlays, the SGPs, the sides, the best bets, the Pro Football Today crew. Always going to be intact. Big NBA slate tonight. Good luck to the people out there. For JP, behind the wheels of steel, I'm Donnie Wrightside. Thanks for tuning into Moneyline. We'll be back once again tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.